This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
When it comes to expanding, when it comes to innovation, I feel like we have so many talented people here in St. Louis, but we have to find a way to create a platform for them.
Hey, and welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. You know, I have a lot of great guests who agree to be interviewed on the show, and I appreciate every single one of them. But I got to tell you, this week, I am especially excited about my guest. His name is Chef Juwan Rice. Chef Juwan is young. He's talented. He has a lot of wisdom to share. He is a superstar. You're going to figure that out really quickly in this interview. Let's jump straight into it. Here's Chef Juwan. I'm joined now by Juwan Rice, Chef Juwan Rice, also known as Chef JR. You may know him from Rated Test Kitchen, as well as many, many other endeavors in the St. Louis area. Chef, thank you so much for joining me today. This is awesome to have you here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's get started by just giving us a brief rundown on how you became interested in food and cooking. I know you started at the age of 6 years old, so just kind of give my listeners a brief introduction to you. Basically.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll try to paint the picture for the virtual listeners. I started at 6 years old, and I know a lot of people are like, what were you doing at six in the kitchen? But I was cooking with my grandmother. And so every day I came home from school, my grandmother had a meal, a hot meal ready to go for dinner. And so I wanted to know how she was able to produce such amazing food. And so I kind of followed her on this journey of like, how do you take a bag of groceries from Snooks and make an amazing meal for our family? And so as we were kind of going through that journey, I fell in love with the connection that we were building in the kitchen. But more importantly, I fell in love with the reaction of my family to the food and how it impacted their day. And so we could have had a crappy day at school, a crappy day at work. But when my grandmother was cooking, you forgot about all of that at the dinner table. And so I wanted to provide that experience for other people. And I was always like a kid that was like fiddling with things or taking things apart or like just doing things with my hands. And if you know cooking, that is literally exactly what you are doing. It's a chemistry. It's a science. But more importantly, it's intuitive and your hands are always in something. So I fell in love with that, more importantly than anything else.
Yeah, food really is something that can bring everybody together and completely turn around your day if you're having a bad day.
Exactly. And food and music are like the only two things that I feel like can bring people together. It goes beyond any boundary of race or sex or whatever separates us. It merges people together. And I was telling someone this the other day. I was like, there's so many different things that people have a connection to. Like for me, for example, we could smell garlic. You could smell garlic roasting. I could smell garlic roasting, but we each have a different memory. It takes us to a different place. So like for me, it reminds me of my grandma roasting garlic for spaghetti. For you, it may be a different story. So food is the only thing that kind of hits all five senses for me. You see it, you taste it, you smell it, you hear it, and you feel it.
I love that. So you started at the age of six. At the age of 14, what happened?
14 is where I was like, holy cow, I can make money doing what I love. Mm-hmm. So at the time, my mom was working at Washington University, and she would constantly take in the food or things that I was baking to work. And they were like, where are you getting this stuff from? How can we purchase it? How can we buy it? And I was like, they want to buy this? I'm like, okay. And so from there, I started JR's Gourmet, and I was just doing desserts and pastries and things like that, because it's kind of what I fell in love with the most. And they started purchasing it. So next thing I know, I'm 14 cooking for doctors and lawyers and all of her clients and things like that. And it just kind of blew up from there.
That's really cool. So at what point do you feel like you, maybe a weird question, but when do you feel like you became like Chef JR? Like, okay, I've kind of made it. I've been doing this long enough. Now I, because you're a known commodity in St. Louis. Yeah. Like, when do you think you reached that point?
Probably 16. I feel like that's the peak. I feel
oh,
like,
just 16.
Yeah, yeah. That was 2 years into my business. That's when I started doing interviews with actually Kim Hudson from Channel 2 was my first news segment. And I was so nervous. And I feel like this was around that time. I was still in school. A lot of people in school didn't even know that I had a business or that I liked to cook outside of school. But I feel like that's when I realized, like, I was getting engagement on social media and people were following me and people were sharing and people were wanting to order and buy food and doing different things and collaborations. And I was like, wow, this is cool. And so I went through high school, competed in a bunch of different culinary competitions across the U.S., did extremely well. I had over $100,000 worth of scholarships before I graduated high school. And that is like the turning point of when I feel like I took a home hobby and turned it into a professional career.
I was joking about you being 16, but you're 23 years old.
23 now.
Kind of buried the lead with that one, Rachel.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it is incredibly impressive that you've been able to achieve so much in such a short period of time.
And
I can't wait to see where it goes. Like you're at the age now where most people are just getting started and you have all this under your belt. So that's so cool. You mentioned social media engagement. Has that just happened organically for you? Just like because of your age and because you kind of grew up with technology, I would assume, has that just kind of come natural?
For sure. I grew up in the social media era. You know what I mean? So a lot of businesses that were started previously, you know, they would do the mailers or they would do billboards or they would do, you know, radio or ads or things like that. But for me, I literally grew up in the social media turning peak of when businesses were starting to reach out to people and influencers through social media to convert them into customers. And so I grew up, luckily was enough, grew up in that era. And I really understood the science of how to get an amazing photo to transfer into sales. And so when I learned that process, it's kind of like I unlocked the cheat code and just kind of grew it from there and really understood the importance of consistency as a business owner to post on social media. And it was so interesting during COVID, I did restaurant consulting and traveled across the country to help restaurant owners. And a lot of them were a lot older and they had been in the restaurant industry for so long, but they did not know how to utilize social media as a business strategy or business tool to help grow their business or help enhance their user experience.
So you're a creative. I think a lot of chefs are creative.
For sure.
Consider themselves creatives.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm going out on a limb here. I feel like if we weren't talking about cooking, we would be talking about something else. Like, I feel like you just are a creative. You would have done something else if it wasn't food.
Oh,
would
without
you agree
a doubt.
With, okay.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Because even in my business, I am in every creative element of the business. So all of our ceramics, all of our plateware are custom made. I've designed probably 75% of all of our plateware, all of our marketing strategies, our logo, our photo imagery, our social media posts, all of it is creativity. And I have my hand in leading every aspect of the way that you see and present Raiden and Emoja Food Group. And I think it's just me. My dad was an artist. And so it's just in me to be an artist. And I think that for me, what kind of separates me from most chefs is that my artistry goes beyond the plate. And so I have so much energy and so much passion for the arts that go in to everything that it takes to kind of run a business. And so I understood photography. I understood marketing. I understood social media. I understood every aspect of the artistry that goes into running a full business. And so that's like one of my greatest strengths is figuring out how to convert my artistry into different aspects of business.
And does that just take up all of your time? Like, do you ever have a time where you're just chilling, or you're always working?
Always working. Yeah. Always working. Even when I travel and I go out for vacation, which is very rare nowadays, I'm always looking at, what are these restaurants doing out here? How are they enhancing their guest experience? How am I able to take an element from this restaurant or this food or this menu that I'm tasting and implement it in a way that I can make it mine? You know what I mean? So I'm always mm-hmm. pulling from so many different aspects. Like, I could see a ceramic cup that someone's drinking, or a mug, and I'm like, that's a really cool design. How do I turn that into a plate where I can use that as my canvas to create food?
Is that also kind of a curse too, though? Like, do you see the off ceramic cup and go like, guys, you're ruining this with the ceramic cup?
Always. I walked into an office building the other day and they had a really cool light, because I had to get into interior design when I created Rated, and they had a really cool light. And I'm like, where did you guys import that light from? I'm like, I want to know so I can put it in my next restaurant. So it's always, it doesn't feel like work. It's just a lifestyle for me, but it is work for sure.
Keep listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show, because when we come back, it's part two of my interview with Chef Juan Rice. Welcome back to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Now, part two of my conversation with Chef Juan Rice.
So we keep talking about Rated. Let's go ahead and bring it up. What's it been like? First of all, give the pitch. Tell people about Rated if they haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
And just tell about your process getting there.
For sure. So Rated Test Kitchen is a 7-course intimate experience. And so the way that we have it set up is, you make your reservation online through our partner OpenTable. You come in for your reservation. We start everyone at the same time, and you enjoy a coursed out menu. And it's really unique, because a lot of the restaurants that are surrounding us, you go in, you order off of the menu, you get what you want, and that's kind of it. It's almost like a transactional experience. But for us, we wanted to create an environment where it feels like you're literally walking into your friend's house. Your friend knows your dietary restrictions, and we're able to curate an experience based off of the individual. And so that's what we've been able to do. We work with local farmers and vendors, so we rotate our menu bi-monthly. But the most important and fun part is that you get to scan a QR code on your menu and rate the food as you're eating it.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, people do it intuitively and naturally anyways. When you go to a restaurant, you're going to rate, how does it taste? How does it look? How does it make you feel? And so we allow the guest to do that in-house. And so it allows us as chefs and creatives to go back and look at the data analytics and say, hey, maybe this wasn't the best dish, or maybe this dish was really good and we should put it on a menu in another restaurant. Or it allows us to have all of that raw feedback in-house and internally. And it doesn't feel like a weird experience. We ran into an issue a couple years ago before Rated was open, and we fed over 40,000 people for a project that we were working on. Out of the 40,000 people, we had one person write a bad review on Google. And I was like, okay, we have to figure out a way to merge, to remove the boundary between the guest and the people that are creating the experience and the meal for them. And so that's when I kind of curated the whole Rated concept internally in-house. And so Rated has literally just been a passion project of mine for a couple years. During COVID, I was in the restaurant industry. We closed down the restaurant and we were doing pop-up dinners. And so we were finding different venues and event spaces across the city and just doing collaborative dinners, but it was always a coursed out menu. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do I take this concept that we created during COVID and put it into a restaurant format that's a little bit more formal? And so that's exactly what Rated Test Kitchen is.
I love just learning a little sliver of how your mind works, as far as like, okay, we've got the analytics going, then we're going to merge that with the creative side.
Yes.
Is that ever a challenge, or does that just come naturally? Is that just the way you think?
It just kind of comes natural for me for the most part. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool because it keeps us on our toes. So we're always evolving the menu. So if you come in, let's say, for example, we're in chapter 10 right now, which is our closing chapter, and you come in the first week and you come in the last week, there's going to be some minute changes on the menu or the way that it's presented or the experience, because we're constantly growing and evolving. One of the things that all of us across the board for the staff of Rated is that we hate being stagnant. We hate being complacent. We hate just staying still. And so we always want to one up ourselves. That's the most important thing for everyone on the team. I'm like, as long as you can be a better version of yourself tomorrow, mm-hmm. you are improving, you are growing, you are constantly evolving. And that's one of the things that we instill in ourselves. And so the rating process kind of keeps us on our toes with that whole process, because at the end of the day, we are our toughest critics. As creatives, as chefs, as entrepreneurs, we're always the toughest critic in the room for ourselves.
So you mentioned, you know, no one on your team wants to be stagnant. That takes a tremendous amount of energy, though, to keep pushing like that. Where does that energy come from?
I think the collaborative piece of us pushing each other to be better. So like, for example, this chapter 10 is a story of the chefs. So I challenged each one of the chefs on the team to create dishes that they grew up eating, but make it a better version, make it an elevated version, present it a different way. And so one of the things that we do is we always have a roundtable discussion amongst the chefs to decide how can we improve each other's dishes, whether it's presentation, whether it's adding more elements. Someone may have a dish that's super sweet, so how do we add a savory element or a salty element to make it a well-rounded dish? And so I think that collaborative piece of always having a team around you that's constantly pushing you to be better, it just kind of helps us in the overall process, because it is a lot. It's always hard to find something new and innovative, especially when you're not surrounded by that, mm-hmm. Because we have limited access to ingredients and things here in St. Louis because we're landlocked. So we don't have that many accesses to fresh vegetables or fresh fish or certain seafood proteins or things like that. And so it always keeps us on our toes to say, how can we take simple ingredients, everyday ingredients, but make it feel like a Michelin star experience?
So you mentioned chapter 10 is your closing chapter. Rated Test Kitchen is going away at the end of May, right?
Yeah, May 31st will be our last dinner service in St. Louis.
And that's not because, oh, we didn't have people coming. You guys have been a tremendous success.
Yes.
So my question is, why end it now?
We are ending it because we want to start a new chapter in another city.
Okay.
Rated Test Kitchen was never meant to be a concept that was around for 40 plus years. I never wanted it to be a franchise concept. So I didn't want to have multiple concepts open in different cities or different areas here in St. Louis. I wanted to be constantly moving. The same way that the chefs grow and the chefs evolve that are creating the menus, I want the concept to do the exact same thing. And so we haven't publicly announced what city we're going to. Guests in-house do know. So if people ask in-house, we will share with them where we're going.
That's cool.
But it's kind of like a if you know, you know situation. Mm-hmm. But I will hint and say that we aren't moving very far away from St. Louis, and also make it known that we are not leaving St. Louis. A lot of our operations are still staying here. We still have contracts with our catering clients and things like that. We're actually growing our footprint from a catering perspective here in St. Louis with the Moja Food Group and some of our partners and relationships that we're building and collaborating with. So we'll be announcing a lot more updates with that type of stuff pretty soon. But yeah, we aren't done with St. Louis. We will definitely be back in St. Louis when it comes to Rated, and we are still going to have a very heavy presence, if not a more pronounced presence, once Rated is closed here in St. Louis.
Part 3 of my interview with Chef Juwan Rice is up next, so keep listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hey guys, it's time for part 3 of my interview with Chef Juwan Rice on The Rachel Zimmerman Show.
So one of my goals with this show is to just highlight positive things happening in St. Louis. Rated is definitely a part of that. You are definitely a part of that. But also, we don't want to ignore the problems that are going on in St. Louis, too. So what's it been like working downtown? What have been the pros? What have been the cons to have your restaurant down here?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm always a part of the conversations when it comes to development that's happening in St. Louis or Wash Ave or downtown Gateway South. There's different projects that are happening and evolving in St. Louis. But unfortunately, I feel like St. Louis always finds a way to stand in its own way of the journey. When it comes to expanding, when it comes to innovation, I feel like we have so many talented people here in St. Louis, but we have to find a way to create a platform for them. And so I feel like a lot of times in St. Louis, our creative scene, because obviously I'm in a lot more scenes than just the chef world. So I get to deal with the influencers. I get to deal with the creatives. I get to deal with the musician and the artist. And I get to understand their story and their journeys just based off of relationships that we've built. And I feel like St. Louis allows the talent to produce its own platform, if that makes sense. So a lot of our creatives in St. Louis, and I'll just name drop a few like Mastermind and Javen, they have to create their own platform to perform on.
Okay.
And I wish that St. Louis was presented in a way where their platform is set for our talent to just be showcased. It shouldn't be where an artist is creating their own event, doing their own marketing, highlighting themselves, promoting themselves on social media. St. Louis has the backing to do that for ourselves and tell the story of the people that are here in St. Louis, but we just don't do the best job of it. And so I feel like once we make that pivot and once we make that transactional experience, I think that a lot more positive things will come out of St. Louis.
What do you think the missing piece is there? If you know, it might be like the kind of thing where it's like, man, no one's figured this out yet.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of agencies here that have the capability to produce that platform.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the energy may be misguided or misdirected. I don't have the answer directly, but I do think that we have the people in St. Louis that does have the answer. And I just want some of these organizations and platforms to just start listening to the people that they are there to support.
More conversations need to be had with creatives than I would assume, to just kind of pick people's brains and like, all right, let's kind of get both sides at the table
exactly.
And figure out a compromise here.
Exactly. Because for the most part, most of the creatives and artists in St. Louis know what's best for the art scene. So someone that comes into the art scene that doesn't necessarily know the culture can't tell us what's best for the art scene. Mm-hmm. You have to hear it from the artists themselves.
Okay. So have you had any challenges working downtown? Did you have any point where you're like, oh, why did I choose here? Why didn't I go somewhere else? Or has it been an overall pretty positive experience?
You know, it's been pretty positive for us. Obviously, you know, we've encountered some things like, you know, theft. Our food truck got stolen a couple weeks ago, which is unfortunate. We had a broken window when we first opened. Actually, the day of Rated opening, this is a funny story I've never told. Someone broke into the restaurant and dumped 5 pounds of rice down our toilet. And so we had to call a plumber to literally move our toilet out of the bathroom, repipe the whole thing 30 minutes before service happened, and guests didn't even know about the experience that happened right before they walked into the door. So, yeah, we've had some kind of petty things that have happened, but I think that our visibility and our endurance is just overcoming a lot of the challenges that we faced, because it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to open up a restaurant, especially here as a black 22-year-old. You know what I mean? So there's definitely some challenges that have been faced, but honestly, I think the industry of culinary has taught me so many different valuable things, and being able to pivot is one of the most influential things that I've ever learned to do. And so I think that the challenges that did present themselves, as long as I was strong enough to pivot, I was able to overcome them.
Yeah, you don't seem like you're afraid of a challenge.
I'm not at all. At all.
Man, that race thing is really petty. Do you have any idea who that was?
I do not know. But
that is so weird.
I would never think to put rice in a toilet.
Yeah, that's like diabolical.
Yeah. It's funny now, but when we were in the thick of it, I was like, are you serious? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned before your team and how you guys build each other up and motivate each other. How do you think the people that work for you and with you would describe you? What's it like working with JR?
Ooh, that's a challenging conversation. It's not challenging in a bad way. It's just that we do so much together. We spend so much time together that I don't know. I feel like we should cold call one of them in this interview just to see and put them on the spot.
I mean, I'm down.
I don't know if any of them are answer right now. Maybe we'll do that as a social media segment off camera or off air. But I really don't know. I think that everyone on my team can definitely vouch and say that I push them to be better because I want them to push me to be better. If I'm not growing, they aren't growing. And so honestly, that is the next step with Rated is there's only so much growth that JR can do in St. Louis. And so with the market of a new city and a bigger city, a broader audience, a lot more visibility, I think that it's going to challenge me to continue to grow and evolve. And I think that my team behind me can only grow as much as I can grow. You know what I mean? And so I feel like I have to take that risk and that jump in order for them to continue to grow and thrive, and I can push them to be better versions of who they are.
And, you know, there might be some people listening who are like, so if you want St. Louis to do better, why are you leaving? But I totally get where you're coming from, because it's almost a way to show these organizations that you referenced before, like, hey, this is what happens when you have incredible talent. We are forced to go, not forced, but, you know, we feel like we need to go do something else.
Yeah.
If you want us to stay put, then maybe put these mechanisms in place.
Exactly. And it goes back to the same principle of the platform. We have to go to a city that has a platform for us to get visibility for James Beard and Michelin star and all of these other accolades, because unfortunately St. Louis isn't able to absorb those just yet. I definitely think that I've seen a lot of the plans and the development plans and a lot of the changes that are happening in St. Louis within the next 3 to 5 years, 3 to 8 years realistically. And I know that St. Louis is going to be at that point, but unfortunately for us, it doesn't make sense for us to sit back and wait for St. Louis to get to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think St. Louis sometimes has a mindset of like, good enough, we're doing okay?
I think so.
And that doesn't seem like that's your mindset.
That is not my mindset. That is not my mindset. You know, it's interesting. I saw an article, and I can't remember who it was produced by, but it was an article that said that they didn't want James Beard to come to St. Louis. No, they didn't want Michelin star to come to St. Louis because they were scared that price points would increase because of the restaurants having more visibility. They were scared that restaurants would be harder to get into. And it's like, I don't really understand that perspective of it. You know what I mean? I feel like visibility and awareness is what we need more than ever in St. Louis, because we have so much amazing talent that should be highlighted. And so what we are trying to do with a lot of the influencers and content creators and creatives that are here in St. Louis is we are trying to create the visibility, and we're fighting so hard for St. Louis. But I wish that we had these large institutions to back us up in that fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're fighting against so many other cities like Chicago, Atlanta, New York, LA, where we're losing a lot of our influential people to those cities. And it's like, if St. Louis would just get on board, we would have all of that here. And so we just have to create that.
Yeah. And, you know, I've gotten to know a couple influencers just through doing this show. It is just so incredible to me, the attitude of like wanting to lift each other up, wanting to do each other a solid, and like, hey, you need a little promotion on this, I can do that for you. I love that spirit in St. Louis.
Yeah.
At least on like the influencer level that we're talking about.
For sure. There isn't ever a sense of competition with the St. Louis creative scene or just overall. There's so many restaurant owners that are either in line with the vision that I have for St. Louis from a food perspective, or maybe they're complacent with where they are, but we always find a way to create some type of synergy between what we have going on. There has never been a restaurant owner or chef that I've ran into that hasn't wanted to do a collaboration or has been open to the idea of collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I think that that goes across all mediums when it comes to St. Louis, is that St. Louis has such an amazing culture here that collaboration is just kind of in our blood. We fight mm-hmm. so hard for everything else that we almost have to bind together. And I think that's where the sense of St. Louis pride comes in, because we fight so hard for people to understand that we are just an amazing city. You know what I mean? And so we want people to know and understand that. And so it doesn't do us any service to create a competition between people that are doing either better than us or in line with the vision that we have. We just have to find a way to help them so that they can help us get to where we need to be.
So in that spirit, who are some of your favorite chefs, favorite restaurants here in St. Louis that you like to visit?
That is a hard one. Okay, so let's see. So So I'll just name a couple restaurants that I go to a lot. So Sato is probably top of my list. Nick Bogner. Me and Nick actually went to the same high school. We didn't graduate at the same time, but we had the same culinary professors at South Tech. So Nick Bogner for sure, with Sato and Endo. Pino in Clayton is amazing. Akar in Clayton is amazing. Good Company is one of my late night spots that I love to go to on Manchester. There's so many amazing spots. I can't even think of all of them. Obviously, what Ben Perimba is doing in the South Delmar area is amazing. And there's just so many different chefs and restaurateurs that are just killing the game. Obviously, Gerard Kraft with what he's doing with the Foundry and all of his amazing restaurants. There's chefs all over that are really, really doing it. Heidi Himamura, who does sushi with Tabaru, she's amazing. Yeah, I mean, the list can go on and on and on. There's some amazing chefs really killing it here in St. Louis.
We do have some great food here.
Yeah.
Okay, Chef GR, I am wondering about your creative process. So I don't think you just roll out of bed every day and this happens. I'm assuming you get yourself in the zone somehow. Like, how do you, if you want to start something new, where do you start? Or is that a completely unfair question?
There's so much. Okay, so I guess let's narrow down the question a little bit. Yeah, so ask the question again, and then I'll try to rephrase it.
What's your first step in your creative process? If you're starting a new challenge, what's like, okay, I got to center myself. Step one is this.
Step one is always pulling inspiration. So whether it's creating a dish, whether it's creating a new business idea, it's always pulling information or inspiration from what is already out there, what's in the market. And honestly, my biggest tool for that has always been social media. So growing up in the social media era, I go to social media for a lot of my influences. What are people doing in Australia? Social media is the only way that can tell us what people are doing across the world, not just in St. Louis, but across the world. And so I've reached out to some amazing artists and chefs and influencers in other cities and other countries just to kind of pick their brains to see what's happening in other environments and how can I take what they have given me and put my spin on it. And so pulling inspiration and collaborating with people from across the world has definitely been a huge asset for me, and utilizing social media to achieve that goal. But it definitely, first step of the creative process is pulling inspiration.
And that's really smart of you to use that resource, because that's a resource that hasn't been available in the past. You know, this is a gold mine at this point.
It is. And I still think that it's slightly underutilized. It's like social media isn't just for watching funny cat videos. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Use it as a tool. This is literally our booklet of creative and energy and just pulling amazing things and ideas to inspire us. You know what I mean? Because there's only so much inspiration that I can get from walking downtown St. Louis. There's abandoned buildings. There isn't much going on. It's like, okay, what are other cities doing? What does their downtown look like to inspire me in this city of what the change should look like?
So we brought up earlier, you're 23 years old. That gets you a lot of, like, people's minds are blown that you've gotten this far. But do you ever find that people underestimate you because of your age?
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think that we should start reaching out to younger people for inspiration and ideas. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times I'm in rooms with people that are a lot older than me or a lot more pronounced than me. There's been meetings that I've been in and roundtable discussions where I've been in the room with the billionaires and millionaires of St. Louis, and they're looking at me for advice. And I'm like, oh, like this is interesting. But yeah, I think that young people have such a vibrant approach to so many different things. And I think that it's a culture shock for a lot of older people that realize, like, we are able to absorb so much information through social media that it's crazy. You know what I mean? So like, we don't necessarily have to read a 300-page book to gain information. We can watch a 60-second TikTok video and gain just as much information.
Right.
And while it's not, you know, seen as like an educational tool or tactic, we gain so much knowledge and information from social media that it's like, it's almost unrealistic. Like it's crazy. Even with like worldly events, with what's happening in other countries and things like that, we absorb. Like the younger demographic is literally like a dry sponge, and social media just kind of feeds us information, and we're just constantly absorbing it. And so, back to your question, I definitely think that in a lot of the rooms that I'm in, I'm definitely underestimated, but I kind of love to be in that seat. You know what I mean? I always want to find a way to show people and wow people with me. You know what I mean? Mm. And it doesn't necessarily have to come to degrees or accolades or anything like that. It's like you just have to have a conversation with someone. And so it's always amazing to just hear people's approach to different things and just having conversations with people to really get a feel for what people are about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think is your biggest motivator? Like, I know it's not all motivation. A lot of it is discipline. But when you get that motivation, where does that come from?
For sure. You know, honestly, what motivates me, and this is going to sound so weird, is where St. Louis is when it comes to our young people. You know, there's a lot of people that are, there's a lot of bad PR about St. Louis and downtown and the crime that's involved. But that's what kind of keeps me going, because I want our young people to see what they're able to do and what they're able to accomplish. I didn't grow up in the best neighborhood. I wasn't spoon fed. My family wasn't wealthy, but I was able to transcend all of those setbacks or all of those things. And I'm creating what the new journey of entrepreneurship and success looks like. And so if I don't do it for anyone else, I want to do it for the people that grow up from the neighborhoods I grew up in that look like me, and literally set the pathway and inspire them to be better. A lot of people looked at me younger and was like, the only way he's going to be successful is if he's in sports or music. Mm. I didn't do either of those. I cooked and I brought people together with food. And so I want to show them that there's so many different ways that they can change the perspective of their life and just inspire them to keep going.
Earlier we said, you know, if it wasn't food, it would be something else. What would be that something else?
I don't know. Honestly, I have done so much in such a short amount of time. I have learned photography. I have done sound engineering and lighting engineering for churches and concerts and performances and things like that. I have, you know, curated amazing events across the city. So I feel like that it would be something in the hospitality realm, because mm-hmm. I just love people. But I don't quite know what exactly it would be.
Let's talk a little bit about your time on the Food Network. What did that mean to you to achieve that? And I'm also wondering if there's any surprises about reality TV that people who haven't had that experience would be like, oh, wow, I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah. It was very, very interesting. A lot of people give a lot of credit to, you know, Food Network and things like that. But honestly, the way they reached out to me, I thought it was a complete scam.
Really?
I got a random Instagram DM from one of the casting producers, and she's like, hey, I want to set up a Zoom call with you. And I'm like, okay. And people always ask, like, how did you get on Food Network? Did you apply for it? Did you do that? I'm like, some lady reached out to me on Instagram. I don't know. And then it just kind of went from there. But the experience was so amazing to kind of see, you know, what it looks like behind the scenes. You know, I grew up watching Food Network. And so to see the behind the scenes of how it's produced and how it's, you know, shot and all of the amazing things, and to get to meet the people that I see on TV, like Guy Fieri and Gordon Ramsay and just these amazing powerhouses on those networks, it was incredible. And not only that, just to get to meet the people that actually make it possible, the producers, the sound engineers, the lighting techs, the food stylists, the photographers, the talent that I'm competing against. Like, we're still friends. Every show that I've been on, I'm friends with the people that were on the show still to this day. And it was just a really fun experience. But I think for me, like going back to the last conversation that we were talking about, it was more important for me because I got so many messages from people that were like, my son saw you on TV and he's inspired to get in the kitchen now. And I think that that does it for me more than winning the shows or getting the accolades or getting the awards. It's that I want to inspire people. And that's my biggest message. That's my biggest story. Because I think that people really don't know what's possible until they see someone that looks like them do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you bringing up like the lighting engineers and producers and stuff. There's you taking everything apart again, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you say you want to inspire people. It feels like you're inspired, so that's why you want to inspire others. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, like literally every opportunity that I get, I didn't expect for it to come. You know what I mean? And things literally change in the drop of a dime. And so for me, it's like every day that I live is like a new experience for me that I never thought I never thought that I would be doing an interview with you. You know what I mean? And so I'm looking, I'm like, what kind of microphones are they using? I'm looking at all of the different things because I'm living life through my own lens, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Where do you think that comes from? Because a lot of people have not tapped into that.
I don't know. Okay. I honestly don't know. I think that as a kid, I didn't have, you know, much. I was very creative. So I always had to find a way to kind of make it work. And even with, you know, my business with Rated, I did all of the construction for Rated. So like the tables I custom built because I just didn't have the money to just go and buy an $800 table. You know what I mean? So I'm like, how can we make this from scratch and make it look like picture perfect? And so being able to kind of have this amazing vision, but then having to take a step back and saying, how can we approach this with a budget friendly approach, but still make it look like it's amazing? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's just kind of been my life. And I feel like that's the story of many people in St. Louis, is that we have these amazing, broad, brilliant ideas, but we have to often take a step back and figure out realistically, how can we make that vision come to life?
It's back to the not being afraid of a challenge thing. It's like, if you can break it down into smaller pieces, it's not as intimidating.
Exactly. And that's so funny because I literally was talking to my ceramic artist who makes all of our playwear for Rated the other day. And he sent me this post here. I'll show you real quick. And it's for the people that can't see it. It's two ladders next to each other. But the ladder, I don't know what the pieces are.
Like the rung?
The steps. Yeah. The steps in one of the photos is extremely high where the person in the image can't reach it. But there's another ladder next to it where the steps are a lot lower. And the person that's on that ladder has reached the top of the ladder. Here, I'll show you this real quick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's like we literally just have to take the baby steps. The ladder is still going to be the same height, but it's just about how you get there that makes the most importance.
Juan, this has been awesome. We're actually going over time. I'm going to have to do like an extended podcast, which I'm very excited about. But before I let you go, tell me about Palette on Palette, this youth outreach that you're working on.
Yeah. So kind of back to that representation of taking the small steps. I had this amazing vision to do this amazing food and wine festival, but I wanted the money to go to a nonprofit effort. And so we've kind of dialed back just a little bit to really hone in to make sure that the experience is what we want it to be. But we did a pilot kind of similar to this in Charleston, South Carolina. And we took inner city youth and we took them to a farm and we kept them for a week and literally taught them about culinary and food and the history and the science behind it. And it literally broadened their horizon because a lot of these kids don't know what fresh vegetables look like or how to cook them or how to eat them. And so that's kind of what we want to do with Palette on Palette, is we want to create an environment where kids are able to partner with farmers and chefs and just literally be curated around food and an amazing experience. But there's a broader picture to it. We want to make sure that our young people have a workforce development plan. And so if they don't know what they want to get into, we want to push them to get into the hospitality and culinary industry. We want to teach them about etiquette. We want to teach them about photography and videography for restaurants. We want to teach them about, you know, the different skill sets that comes into running a business and partnering them with mentors that are in different industries, to kind of push them forward. And so I got the name because palette, as if your taste buds, but then also the artistry that palettes that, you know, that artists use to create art, that palette. And so I wanted them to understand that there's art in food and food is medicine. And so that's our biggest thing with Palette on Palette.
Chef JR, how do people, you know, if they want to eat at Rated, if they want to follow your story, how do they get in touch with you? How do they make a reservation? What's going on?
Yeah, the easiest way is social media. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everything is at either Juwan Rice or Chef JR. You guys can find Rated Test Kitchen. Our website has all of the information that you guys can need. Rated-TK.com and Umoja Food Group kind of has a broader picture of everything that we're working on.
Well, JR, this has been really great. I feel inspired after this conversation.
Thank you.
You have such a great spirit and just, you have great advice too. And just like, you've lived a wonderful life already. You're only 23 years old. I really appreciate you making the time and coming down and being on the show.
Of course. It's my honor.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed my conversation with Chef Juwan Rice. I really enjoyed talking to him. I liked getting to pick his brain. He has so many great ideas for the city of St. Louis and beyond. So really enjoyed that conversation. If you missed any part of the conversation, podcast the show on the Odyssey app or really anywhere else you get your podcasts. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show in your favorite podcast platform and you'll see this latest episode and my entire library of guests and you know, everyone I've been able to talk to over the past year and some change that we've been doing this thing. Now, even if you caught my entire conversation with Chef JR today, you might want to go podcast it anyway, because there's a couple of extra bonus minutes in the podcast this week. We talked for so long that I wasn't able to fit it all into the actual episode. So go download it. Go listen if you want to hear the entire conversation with Chef Juan. Guys, make sure you're following the show on Instagram at Rachel Zimmerman Show. You can see who's going to be the guest that week, and I try to post other fun things throughout the week too. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rachel ZSTL. I would love to hear from you. Guys, that's it for this week. We are out of time. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope the rest of your weekend is really, really good. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.